You were such a sensitive child, my mother. But I'm quite flinty now, me. Yes, you are, my daughter. One of these days, that smart mouth of yours is going to get you in trouble, my father, when I was a teenager. She would have made such a fine Victorianist, Jerry Buckley, my thesis advisor. If she'd never met me, your mother would still have been a successful writer, but she wouldn't have had as much fun. Graham Gibson, my partner, to our daughter. Don't piss her off, or you will live forever. Julian Porter, my friend. Introduction. I almost expected to see my doppelganger sprinting across town pursued by a mob, but I guess things didn't work that way. Ransom Riggs, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Some years ago, I was asked to make a stunt appearance on a comedy show. The host, Rick Mercer, was doing a series in which people well known for one kind of accomplishment, such as writing, astonished viewers by doing something different and entirely unrelated, such as rolling a joint. "I want you to be a hockey goalie," Rick said. "Oh, I don't think so," I said. "Couldn't I just maybe bake a pie or something?" "Nope, you gotta be a goalie." "Why?" "Because it'll be funny, trust me." So I was a goalie in a full set of pads with gloves and a stick. There I am on YouTube, still goalie-ing it up. And yes, it is kind of funny. I wore my own little white figure skates with black socks over them to make them look like hockey skates. But you can't slide and stack the pads in figure skates, so those feats were performed by a body double, an accomplished women's hockey player. With her face mask on, you can't tell that it isn't me. It's the job of the body double to take the risks you yourself are too sedate or chicken or unaccomplished to take. I wish I could have a body double in my real life, I thought. It would come in so handy. Of course, I do have one. Every writer does. The body double appears as soon as you start writing. How can it be otherwise? There's the daily you, and then there's the other person who does the actual writing. They aren't the same. But in my case, there are more than two. There are lots. Some months after my sixth novel, The Handmaid's Tale, had been published, I was doing a book event to promote it. During audience question time, with open mics which many folks present used to deliver sermons, a man gave his opinion. "So, The Handmaid's Tale is autobiography," he said. It wasn't a question. "No, it's not," I said. "Yes, it is." "No, it's not. It's set in the future," I said. "That's no excuse," he said. He was wrong, needless to say. Within my own lived experience, I had not donned a red outfit and a white bonnet and been coerced into procreating for the top brass of a theological hierarchy. But in a very broad sense, he was right. Everything that gets into your writing has gone through your mind in some form. You may mix and match and create new chimeras, but the primary materials have to have traveled through your head. Is autobiography only a series of events that have happened to you in the physical world? Or is it also a record of an inner journey? Is it like Defoe's Robinson Crusoe, Here's How I Made My Hut? Or is it more like Newman's Apologia Pro Vita Sua, Here's Why I Changed My Faith? When the idea of writing a literary memoir first sprang up, from whom? Memory shrugs, but it was someone in publishing. I replied to her, or him, or them. That would be tedious. You've heard the bad joke about the old East Coast fisherman counting fish. One fish, two fish, another fish, another fish, another fish. So my literary memoir would go, I wrote a book, I wrote a second book, I wrote another book, I wrote another book. Dead boring. Who wants to read about someone sitting at a desk messing up blank sheets of paper? "Oh, that's not what we meant," they said. "We meant a memoir in, you know, a literary style." This was even more baffling. What would that be like? 18th